Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Carol, who already listened to my weekend sermon three times, expressed, I think, a little disappointment that I was going to reprise that message for you today. So I've decided to do a different sermon for you based on some of the conversations that that Brian Wolfmuller and I have had over the last few weeks in our Greek Bible study on Thursday mornings. One of the great things about Zoom has been that the group of guys that used to gather at Einstein's on Thursday morning stopped gathering when Brian took calls out of the city, and now with Zoom we can have our Bible study again, and we don't even have to pay for a bagel. So it's fantastic. Anyways, so I want to focus on these words from Matthew 18, verse 18. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is obviously where we get the idea of the office of the keys, which are given to the entire church, but are rightly publicly exercised by us, those of us in the office of the holy ministry. And I think that perhaps we look at these verses mostly in confirmation class when we cover that section of the catechism. But there is a verbal connection between these words here and our gospel reading from a couple weeks ago. There in Matthew 16, after Peter's blessed confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus blesses him and says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, the Catholic Church, of course, appropriates this verse as part of the basis for the primacy of the Roman bishop, the primacy of the Pope, right? And the idea why he is the pastor over all the pastors and the supreme of all. It is interesting that when you look at it in the Greek, even though it looks the same in English as what we read in Matthew 18, it's not the same in Greek. In Matthew 16, Jesus does use a second person singular pronoun. He is speaking directly to Peter, not to the entire group of disciples, when he says that he is giving Peter the keys. I give to you, Peter, the keys. And so, it's very interesting there. When you get to Matthew 18, however, it becomes a plural you. Y'all, if you will, to the entire church. And so if there ever was a pope, it was only for two chapters of Matthew. And we're done with that now, because those keys are given to the entire church. This exercising of the keys is always bound up with controversy, though. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you were doing the divine service, and you had some visitors who came who were perhaps not from a Lutheran or a Roman background. And so the idea of a man forgiving sins was quite new and eye-popping to them. Remember the Pharisees, when Jesus said to the man who was with a crippled hand, and he said, your sins are forgiven, and the Pharisees were all upset, right? How can a man forgive sins? And Jesus said, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, be healed. Because which is harder, to say your sins are forgiven or to heal somebody? And of course, that man was healed, and the Pharisees were probably no less angry, perhaps even more so, because Jesus got them. But I've had people actually say to me in kind of the meet and greet line on the way out of church before, well, Pastor, thank you very much. I enjoyed worshiping with you today. It was a good message. But I gotta ask you, What gives you the right to forgive my sins? I mean, I could understand if I had, you know, done something against you, but then you forgive me. But how can you forgive the sins that I've committed against other people? Who gives you that right? And I said, I say, because it's happened more than once, Jesus. And can I show you in the Bible where it says that? And you whip out your cell phone, you pull it up on, you know, your little Bible app, and you show them this passage from Matthew 18, and then, of course, that beautiful word in John chapter 20 on the evening of that first Easter when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is forgiven. And so this authority, this power to forgive and retain sins, or to bind people in the condemnation of their sins, or to break and loose those chains, to free them from those sins, is given to the church. That's our job. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that, that God was reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. And now God is making his appeal through us. So it's our job to reconcile people to one another and with God, the vertical and the horizontal dimension. And that's what we see the keys are all about in this passage on Matthew 18. Sometimes people have this idea that the goal of Matthew 18 is to figure out how to kick people out of the church. that the proper use of excommunication is for the pastor to get rid of the people he doesn't like. We've all heard horror stories, or I don't know if you can call them urban legends, ecclesial legends, about a pastor who loses his temper in the middle of an elders meeting or a council meeting or something, and kind of points around the room and says, I excommunicate all of you immediately. Now that, of course, is an abuse of power, but it's also not the right exercise of the keys. And in fact, I've had people ask me, well, Pastor, what if, this is usually asked in an adult Bible class, not in the confirmation class, or in the adult new member class, but, well, Pastor, what if somebody confesses their sins and the pastor refuses to forgive them because he's mad at them or something? Are they still forgiven then? And this is where Greek, again, can be of great comfort to the souls of the lay people. Because when we look in, whether it's in verse 16 with Pope Peter for two chapters, or whether it's here in chapter 18 with the apostles, the reality is that a more literal translation of Matthew 18:18, I think, is of great comfort to us. Truly I say to you, amen I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. It's actually a future perfect tense. It's not translated that way because it's kind of clunky. But think about that for a minute. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, a future perfect. So in other words, when we bind and loose here on earth, it's not that we're setting heaven's agenda, that whatever we bind or loose, God will bind or loose, but rather it's quite the opposite, that whatever we bind or loose on earth has already been bound or loosed in heaven. We don't set heaven's agenda, we ratify it. We carry out on earth the forgiveness that Christ has already given to the repentant sinner. And we withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant sinner that God has already bound in sin. It's almost like absolution is confirmation. You are confirmed in your forgiveness or your unforgiveness of what God has already ordained in heaven. And so if you have a wicked, nasty, mean pastor with a bad attitude or a chip on his shoulder who doesn't want to grant you absolution, I don't know why a pastor would not want to grant absolution. When I was at the seminary, Dr. Joel Bierman, probably Josh is the only one who knows him, but Dr. Bierman said that every pastor is a superhero. He is absolution man. And that you could almost have a big A on your vestments when you go to the service. Although because of Nathaniel Hawthorne, that A may have a different connotation in American culture. But we are absolution man. It's our job to forgive sins. It's our job to reconcile the world to God through Jesus Christ. And this is a beautiful, wonderful job. One of the best things that we can do in our calling. So, remember that this wonderful work has been given to us as a comfort for consciences, not as a way for us to beat up the lay people. And let's face it, at the end of the day, if you beat up the lay people, then you're lording it over them and you're not being a shepherd like Jesus has called us to be. In those times when you feel like a shepherd that the sheep have bitten you or kicked you, it's not the time to take out reprisal upon them. This is actually the time for us to go to a brother pastor and to confess our own hurt and our own sins of anger and bitterness and rage, and receive the blessing of absolution for ourselves. And as we say in the Catechism, this is just as good and sure as if Christ himself on earth had spoken it. This is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.